We have messages from the House.
From the House of Representatives, January 26, 2017. Message number 165. Mr. President, the following bills passed the House on third reading by the votes indicated. House Bill number 28, approved depositories for public funds. Ayes 58, excused 2. Message number 173. House Bill number 77, in-state tuition, AmeriCorps service. Ayes 33, noes 25, excused 2. Message number 166. Mr. President, the following bills passed the House on third reading in an amended form by the votes indicated. House Bill number 29, deposits by political subdivisions. Ayes 55, noes 3, excused 2. Message number 167. House Bill number 44, Board of Professional Engineers and Land Surveyors. Ayes 47, noes 11, excused 2. Message number 168. House Bill number 52, Governmental Immunity Cooperative Public Transportation. Ayes 36, noes 22, excused 2. Message number 169, House Bill number 65, Public Safety Communications Reorganization. Ayes 45, noes 13, excused 2. Message number 170, House Bill number 75, Automatic Restoration of the Right to Vote. Ayes 47, noes 17, excused 2. Message number 171, House Bill number 78, salvage title updates. Ayes 58, excused 2. Message number 172, House Bill number 15, sex offender registration fees and penalties. Ayes 38, noes 20, excused 2. Signed, Wendy Harding, House Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
January 26, 2017, Mr. President, your committee number 6, to whom was referred Senate File 126, Guides and Outfitters Penalties, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Barnard, Boner, Emmerich, and Moniz. Senator Emmerich, Chairman.
No further reports? Okay. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we are at that point of business. Consideration of bills on... Senator Coe, would you like the microphone?
The floor, please.
Yes.
Before we go into general file, had all the way down from my hometown of Cody, had the Youth for Justice group here, who I work with a lot, with their instructor, Deb White, who I might add is nationally board certified teacher, and I'd like to have you welcome them to the Senate. They're down here for a couple days.
Which one is that?
Right here, all of them.
Thank you for making the long journey down here from Cody. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you. Just going to see if there are any privileges to the floor before we start. With that, Mr. Vice President, we're certainly glad to have the bill from Cody down to keep an eye on Senator Coe. So we appreciate them coming down because it's a full-time job for the rest of us. So thank you very much. Mr. Vice President, I move that the Senate resolve itself back into Committee of the Whole.
You've all heard the motion. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senator Wasserberger.
Senator Perkins.
Mr. Chairman, before we jump into it, if I may, just want to point out that because Senator Baldwin has been called out for some assistance somewhere else around the building, we've moved 111, we're going to lay it back, not lay it back, we're just going to move it back in order so it comes, we'll do it last and pick it up with the idea that Senator Baldwin will be back by then. So I just wanted to put that up. Also would bring to your attention that we did add three new bills during the noon hour for folks, Senate Files 109, Senate File 25, and Senate File 144. having looked at those, some of those you'll recognize. We've actually had some of the debate on those things, some of that discussion earlier because of earlier bills and things that we've done. And then one of my think is fairly non-controversial. So I brought those up because I thought that we could handle those on this short notice. So with that, Mr. Chairman, please take us to the promised land, sir.
Senator Office.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could the Speaker tell us what that final order is towards the end there? I think there's an auto cycle.
I'm entirely uncertain
what the order exactly. There's a dead man, an auto cycle, perhaps a bay of hail, I'm not sure.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do that just to see if anybody's paying attention, and it's nice to know that my good friend, the minority floor leader, has passed that test. So, with that, so what we'll do is the batting order this afternoon will be we left off with 119. So the first bill up will be Senate File 149, followed by 103, followed by 136, followed by 109, auto cycles, followed by 25, followed by 144, and then 111 will switch. Will drop to the end.
I will say it here in a minute. Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I think you said 149 as your first bill. 49.
Yep.
You'll straighten me out.
Mr.
I stand corrected. Thank you.
Okay. So, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, the order is House Bit or Senate File 49, Senate File 103, 136, 109, 25, 144, and 111. Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 49. Would the reading clerk please read the bill?
Senate File 49, Investment Funds Committee, an act relating to state investments, sponsored by the Capital Financing Committee, was referred to Committee Number 3, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Case, Ellis, Kinski, Peterson, and Wasserberger, Senator Peterson, Chairman, was re-referred to Committee Number 2, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Burns, Dockstader, Driscoll, Hastert, and Landon, Senator Burns, Chairman.
Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Apparently, there is no law against mutilating the whiteboard in the Senate. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rouses the report, it do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 49, Investment Funds Committee. There are no standing committee amendments, and with a further discussion on the bill, I ask that you call on the good majority floor leader.
Senator Perkins.
Mr. Chairman, I think there is a standing committee amendment.
There is a standing committee amendment. Senator Burns, would you like to move it at this time?
Mr. Chairman, I would ask that the standing committee amendment be read in, please.
Senate File 49, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 9.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, I would move the standing committee amendment. And with a further explanation of both the Standing Committee Amendment and the bill, I'd ask that you call on the Majority Floor Leader.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have for your consideration today Senate File 49. This is interim work from the Select Committee on Capital Financing and Investments. We met three times in the interim and did a number of things. And so there's a suite of a few bills that are moving our way through the legislature at this time. And so this is the first one that we have in the Senate. The others, I believe, started in the other body. What we have in the Investment Funds Committee is an effort, just by way of background, Mr. Chairman, those of you who have been here a while and those who have served on appropriations are aware that as the Treasurer's Office goes out and invests the funds that are both in the Permanent Trust Fund, the Common School Permanent Land Funds, the other permanent funds, and non-permanent funds of the estate, that they incur substantial investment fees, and those are upwards of about $70 million investment fees. And so as we look at that, and as the Appropriations Committee has looked at that, the Capital Select Committee on Capital Financing and Investments has looked at that, we believe, and on representations of the Treasurer and his office and others, that we could bring some of those investment functions in-house and believe that for every expenditure of $1 in bringing some of those investment functions in-house, they have the potential to, for the state to save at least $2 from out of that $70 million are being paid to outside investment advisors. And so what this bill does, what Senate File 49 does, is provides an investment funds committee that would do a few functions, and we'll go through those as we go through the bill, Mr. Chairman. The idea, the investment funds committee will provide a small committee of individuals who have some significant experience that will both advise the SLIB, which is the State Loan and Investment Board, on developing their investment policies, as well as interviewing and for the money managers that are hired by the state, will provide some additional backstop for interviewing and advise the State Loan and Investment Board in their hiring of those, and then also provide some advice, outside independent advice, to the Treasurer as he implements the investment policy of the State Loan and Investment Board. And so what we have as we go into the bill, on the bottom of page 1 across the top of page 2, we create the Investment Funds Committee. And as you see there, the Investment Funds Committee will consist of 5 members. The committee consists of 5 members, including the State Treasurer, a member of the State Treasurer's office designated by the State Treasurer, and 3 members appointed by the selection panel, which we'll get to in a minute. And so the 3 members in the selection panel will serve on 3-year terms, and initially their terms are 1, 2, and 3 years for the first term, and after that they'll all be 3 years, but that'll be so that there will be staggered terms, and we'll be replacing one panel member, will be up for reappointment in each year. The selection panel is appointed. The members of the Investment Funds Committee will be confirmed by the Senate. They'll be appointed. The selection and the State Treasurer shall be the chairman of that committee, and the committee is to meet at least quarterly at the call of either the chairman or majority of the membership of the committee. The support for the committee will be provided by the State Treasurer's office. Then we get to the bottom of page 3, the top of page 4. We're talking about the selection panel. The selection panel consists of the 5 members of the State Loan and Investment Board. So the selection panel will be the 5 electeds of the state. So it'll be the governor, the treasurer, the secretary of state, the auditor, and the state superintendent of public instruction. The selection panel researched and interviewed candidates for the Investment Funds Committee. Qualifications for members of these three at-large members of the investment committee, you see at the bottom of page 4 and across the top of page 3, they'll have not less than 7 years of institutional investment experience involved in a management portfolio in excess of $500 million. They'll have a broad understanding of financial markets. They will not have been convicted of or plead no contest to any felony violation or been the subject of any disciplinary action involving moral turpitude, and there should be no conflicts of interest that would lead to violations under the various ethics statutes that you see provided there. The staff and support for the selection panel shall be provided by the Office of State Treasurer. After that, we go through, and the rest of it are simple, are going back and having conforming amendments to the appropriate places in the statute, and serve members of the Funds Committee or the Investment Funds Committee in various places you go through the statute. So those are conforming amendments you see on middle and bottom of page 6, on over to page 7, and so you get that. Then you get into section 3 of the bill, which provides for reports back to the Select Committee on Capital Financing and Investments about what they're doing and how they're going about it, and also it's kind of a walk before you run. They'll pull back, and we'll have the opportunity to decide if we should continue to do this. The members of the panel will serve basically for their per diem. There's no large contracts to be or remuneration out of this. They're basically paid per diem, similar to what state legislators receive for the work when they do their work for their attendance and, on the committee. So with that, you get to Section 4. There's appropriated from the general fund $45,000 to the Office of the State Treasurer. And that is for mostly this appropriation shall only be expended for the payment and authorized compensation for diem and mileage for the investment fund committee members appointed under this statute and the selection panel members also that are created under this statute for the act. Again, with that, that's essentially the bill. And as we've said, this is headed towards other functions you'll see discussed later in the section, but provides some expertise for the State Loan Investment Board and the Treasurer's Office. Now, if I can, let's move on to the bill, and I'll tell you what the bill does in relationship to the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, the Senate File 49, what it does to the bill. What it does is shortly after we had adjourned in our third meeting, we were standing around talking. We'd already adjourned, and it appeared to us that the meetings of the investment committee, as they talk about these sensitive issues and where markets are going, these investments, would be subject to the public meetings law and the open. So we thought that they ought to be treated somewhat like the Craig Board or the Craig Group, the Consensus Revenue Estimating Group, and so that their deliberations and their work product, those things that happen, their discussions, those things would be exempt from public records, and that their meetings would not be public meetings, but ultimately when they make their reports to the SLIB board, when they make their, and as the SLIB board implements, if the SLIB board implements our recommendations, those recommendations would be made public at that time. So it's a limited deliberation and meetings exception for this group. That's what the amendment does. It also makes syntax type of correction by inserting on page 3, line 4, after the closed parenthesis for subsection C, it inserts the word appointed, so we're talking, making sure that we're talking about the appointed members of the investment funds committee. That's the context, and that's what the amendment does. And with that, I'd ask for questions. I'd entertain any questions on the amendment, and would ask the body's favorable consideration of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1.
Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 49, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 49 has passed. We are back on the bill. Are you ready for the question, Senator Von Flader?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a question. What I understand, the investment group, the investment fund committee is being selected by the selection panel, which is the selection panel is who, for one thing. And then it says on the bottom of page 2, I lost my spot here, it's on the top of page 4, lines 6 through 9, it says, members on the panel shall serve for the term of the office of the board member who appointed them, but may be removed by that appointing member, which I really didn't understand how that works. And then it talks about the investment funds committee, like on line 2 above. But then it talks about the panel again, which consists of 5 members composed of 1 member appointed by each of the members of the board. So you got board, member, committee, and then you've got this thing about serving as long as somebody that appointed you. And I guess that whole Section A confuses me. Could you explain that a little bit, please?
Yeah, it's on page 4, top of 4A.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the way that the bill's put together is just a little bit convoluted. So probably the easiest thing to do is, if we go back and go through this again, if we start on the bottom of page 3 and the top of page 4, to get the investment committee, you have to first have the selection panel. And so it's the order of the bill and the sections in the statute a little bit out of order of the chronological order of which events will happen. So you get to the top of page 4, the selection panel is created to appoint the members of selection funds committee. So the selection panel simply appoints who will be on the selection on the investment funds committee. The selection panel consists of 5 members composed of 1 member of each of the members of the board. The board in this context is the State Loan and Investment Board. So selection panel is the 5 electeds. So each selection panel member shall possess financial knowledge and experience to qualify them for this. And actually, as I look at it, I see what you're talking about. The selection panel member is, that's inaccurate. That actually should be corrected to be the investment committee member that's selected. Because the requirements below, if we go to the next sentence, members of the on the panel shall serve the term of office of the board member who appointed them, but may be removed by that appointing board member. So the selection panel, again, is the, as you go back, each member of the, so we go back again, and I misspoke. The panel consists of five members composed of one member of each member of the board, and each selection, so what they can do is they can do it or they can appoint someone. So, for example, the treasurer can do it himself or he could appoint a designee to serve on that collection panel. But I think that when it in that middle sentence there at the end of line four and on to page five, each selection panel member shall possess financial knowledge and experience to qualify them for the position. I think ultimately, if it's not, that's two ways to look at that, and we probably could use some clarification on that. If that's intended to be the selection panel member, if it's the elected, we assume that they have that knowledge from serving on the State Loan and Investment Board. However, if they're appointing someone other than themselves, I think that we do want them to have some knowledge and experience to qualify them to serve in that selection panel. So they would have been involved somehow in the State Loan and Investment Board process. But certainly if we could look at that, and I'd be certainly willing to work with the good senator on any type of amendment to clarify that.
Are you ready for the question? Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, I understood the bringer to say that we had $70 million in fees. And if I got this right, we've got in this bill, we've got about a $45,000 cost. And it was stated that we would have a 2-to-1 return, which would be about $90,000 for doing this movement. I would submit that we need about a 100-to-1 movement of $45 million, maybe. Is there something that's I'm missing here? Maybe I'm not using the right numbers. Maybe the 45,000 isn't the right number.
Senator Von Flader.
Thank you. I have another question for the mover of the bill here, the explainer. On line 6-7 and page 4 again, it says members on the panel shall serve for the term of their office. And if I understand the members of the panel, they're the SLID board and or their designee, but are we telling them they're now, that confuses me, that they'll that we're telling them they shall serve for the term of their office, which, of course, they would ordinarily, and then the board member they select, I think that's turned around. I think it should be the board member selected by the shall serve for the term of the office of the board member. That's how I read that, but I could be mistaken.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll answer those. I'll address those questions in reverse order. I understand what my good friend from Gillette is saying, and the intent is that the selection panel, not the investment committee, but the selection panel will consist of the SLIV members or their appointed representative. And the intent there is to simply, when the SLIV member, when the elected, one of the elected is when they're removed or they were to resign or they're not elected or they don't run again, when their term expires, their appointed member of the selection panel would also expire. That's the intent, and I'd sure be happy to work with the good senator on making sure that that's clarified, because that's the intent. With respect to my good colleague from Natrona County, yes, what this is the where this is aimed, and in, at the risk of violating protocol, referring to other legislation, the intent is that ultimately we're going to bring some of the investment function that is now performed by outside investment advisors. We're going to hire people in the treasurer's office to run that investment office. This is not those people. This is just an advisory committee that will assist the treasurer and the State Loan and Investment Board in accomplishing their duties as far as the investment of state funds go. So the appropriation here is only for this investment committee and the selection panel to get this committee set up and operating. The investment will not be done by this committee. There'll be employees of the state that will be housed in the state treasurer's office, but that's not in this bill. This bill only talks about this advisory committee that will have, again, three functions. They're going to provide advice to the State Loan Investment Committee as they perform and put together the investment policies for the various funds. This becomes actually even more important now with the passage of the recent constitutional amendment providing for not only the permanent funds of the state but other funds of the state to be invested in equities. With that, each fund goes out there, and there's going to have to be investment policies for each fund, whether or not they stay in cash, whether or not they stay in fixed investments, or whether they start to invest in equities or other types of investments that are put under the statute. So the State Loan Investment Board will be going back to work to develop investment policies for each of these things. And that then, the investment policy then sets up the parameters under which the treasurer and his office can execute the investment policy and determines the limits on what they can invest in. And so this simply will be a resource of some outside people that provide some expertise so that the treasurer and the folks that ultimately are going to be investing can get some assistance along with the SLIB board and how they go about doing this as we bring this new investment, this investment function inside the House. So this bill is really just for the appropriation for some per diem and travel for these folks to get this set up and going. It doesn't have anything to do with actually the people that will ultimately be hired if the other legislation passes the House. It has nothing to do with ultimately the people that will be hired and be actually executing the investment orders and executing investment strategies in the Treasurer's office.
Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 49 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 49 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 103. Would the reading clerk please read the bill?
Senate File 103, Water Project Repayment, an Act Relating to Water Development, sponsored by Senator Meyer, was referred to Committee Number 5, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Barnard, Emmerich, Hicks, Meyer, and Moniz. Senator Moniz, Acting Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Hicks?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report that it do so with the recommendation of due pass on Senate File 103, Water Project Repayments. For an explanation of the bill, I will turn that over to Senator Meyer.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There was a standing committee amendment. Would that clerk read it in at this time?
Senate File 103, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 2, line 11.
Okay, I would move that standing committee amendment at this time, Mr. Chairman. And when it appears in the bill here, I'll go ahead and explain what that is. Mr. Chairman, the reason for this particular amendment is that from time to time, the Water Development Commission is asked to do a Level 1 reconnaissance study. And a particular person who requests it, their organization at the time is no longer an eligible entity to request a water study. To be an eligible entity, basically you got to be a water district or another public entity. And the commission weighs the facts that are relevant in the request. And from time to time, they'll allow the study to go forward, but upon the condition that the entity takes the necessary steps, which can take anywhere from a year to a year and a half or so to actually become a public entity. But what this amendment does, because there's a substantial expenditure of funds, it allows the commission to claw back part of those funds if the entity no longer honors that commitment to become a public entity. And this will occur from time to time when the study shows that the price of the project is just, too costly, too expensive, and rather than drilling the well or putting in the infrastructure that's necessary on the study, they look at it and they say, well, if this is
this is too expensive, we'll just go about with the poor well or the poor system that they have. And in which case, the commission is stuck paying the whole bill, and there's no way to get their money back. So what this does is allow them to claw that money back. If you look on page 3, line 11, that comes at the end of the paragraph, and it's to essentially...
page 2,
line 11. It essentially... basically puts into this particular bill what the correct standard is in statute, as far as it's not just the public, it's actually the public interest. And with the explanation of the amendment, Mr. Chairman, I call for questions on the amendment. If there are no questions, I would ask that we have an aye vote on the amendment.
Question on the amendment. This is amendment number, standing file amendment number 1. Is that correct? On Senate file 103. Question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay. With the passage of the amendment, we are back on the bill. Mr. Chairman, if there are no questions, I call for the question on the bill.
Senator Von Flattern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to be clear, is this allow for private individuals then to get a water study, or is this some, it says they may be required to be organized as a water district, but does it allow just an individual to get a government paid for water inspection or test?
Senator Meyer?
I'll say it's conditional. I'll give you a couple of conditions or things that have happened in the past. Normally, I would say just no, because what they say, basically, it's conditional upon them becoming a public entity to go out for a level one study that actually hires an engineering firm, goes out, and conducts a study. Now, I say it's conditional because we have done in-house studies where the public benefit is such to an extent that they feel that it's a reasonable for the employees of the Water Development Commission to do a preliminary study, not as in-depth as what would happen in a Level 1 reconnaissance study. And I don't believe it's, you know, probably prudent or for me to spend the time explaining that, but I certainly would on a one-on-one basis. If anybody wants to talk about some of the studies that we have done in-house, but this deals just with the folks that have said, we need a study, we got a problem, we don't know how big the scope of it is, and we intend to become a public entity and show some, they've already taken the steps. They've probably hired their attorney. They've gone through some of the process already. They're well on the way of becoming a public entity, and that's the place they are. We'll get somewhere between 1 and 3 of these requests a year of people that come forward, and that's about half of them go forward and half of them don't. I can't tell you the number that have basically just, you know, said, well, thank you very much, and walked out the door, you know, but, you know, those things do occur. This is a way to legally get back some of that money from the folks that asked for that.
Senator Hicks?
Mr. Chairman, just expound upon that to answer the senator's question. Even at this level, you still have to meet the criteria. So in this case, I'm not ever aware that they've done an individual. So to meet that criteria, you have to have a minimum of 15 taps or 2,000 irrigated acres. So what the senator from Goshen County described is, yeah, there may not be a public entity, but they still have to meet the criteria that there would be a minimum of 15 taps if they were looking for a domestic or special district type project, or if they were looking at an irrigation, you still have to meet the criteria that there's over 2,000 acres to do those studies.
Mr. Vice President.
What I'm trying, thank you, Mr. Chairman. What I'm trying to understand is that on line three, it says the commission may require, and that's, so what we'd be doing is spending government money on a private individual. And I like the fact that you put the clawback in there if they don't organize. But if the commission never required them to become a water district or some kind of governmental entity, if they weren't required, we'd just be spending government money on a private individual. And 15 taps, you know, you want to build a trailer court, and you just want to put in all these taps, and you just want your water tested or a water study done of some sort. Wouldn't the government be paying for that, and you would not be requested to be a water district?
Senator Myers?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And it's really all contingent upon basically the last two lines where it says that provided that the commission shall give credit for the value of the study to the public interest, and that's as amended. And there are certain studies that go forward where there are no sponsors, but it's in the public interest for those studies to go forward, and the commission funds those. And if somebody came forward with a study such as that, they may say, well, this is of importance enough to the state, to the area, it has a public interest, that whether there's a sponsor or not, they may decide to fund that. But that's a rare exception, I would say. So for the most part, if you feel more comfortable with it as a shall, but that might actually tie the hands when a study where somebody would bring forth, you know, a study proposal meeting the criteria that the good senator from Carbon County said that they may not be able to do if we say shall. The commission is a very deliberative body, and they have the public interest in mind from the perspective that I've seen on Select Water for the years that I've served on it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Bonfiglietti.
So, Mr. Chairman, it really, if we put something in the nature of they shall, so then we guarantee that, and as you said, there might be some public interest that this would block, or we could say, or determined to be in the public interest. And that would cover that language in that particular line, and they definitely would have to be either a public entity or there's a public interest involved.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, just to expound upon that just a little bit more. So the reason the word may is in there is so you may get an applicant that comes in because they have a rather exigent circumstances, is their water well's contaminated. So they put an application in, so the commission says, you know, you may go ahead, we'll fund the project, and you may have to form a district. Well, the scenario, and this has actually played out a couple of times, to form these districts sometimes takes a little bit of legal power, some time. It costs to do this, incorporate these things, bylaws, go through those procedures to form either an improvement district or a water and sewer district. So in the meantime, what happens is we get to the end of the study, and all of a sudden the study's saying for 22 taps, it's $1 million to implement a regional water project, drill a new well, and all this stuff. And they're going to say, we can't afford it, so we're not going to do it. So what you effectively do, if you put the word shall in there, you're making this entity go out there and spend a significant amount of time and resources for a project that they never may apply to do. What the bill allows is then to go back to the commission to say, okay, you didn't form the district, but now because we expended $80,000 or $100,000 on this particular study and you didn't form that district, we can bring back to the commission that state-funded portion that doesn't meet the broader public interests. That'll be up to the discretion of the commission. But that's the reason you want to leave that permissive from a standpoint of may and shall. Is they may not ever decide to participate in a program, but yet we've cost them a significant amount of money to form the district.
Senator Meyer.
And other parts of the program that don't show up in this bill, of course, because it's a short little part, is that there are some emergency rules that from time to time the commission will use or utilize. And actually it was utilized this year in a commission meeting for a community over on the western side of the state where the well was actually going dry. Well, you don't need a study to prove that the well is going dry, see. So but we needed to have a public entity, and we were able, through the emergency rules, to actually facilitate the funds that would go from the level one clear to the level three through the planning stage, through the stage of drilling the well, and being able to actually put it together, because the waterworks were already there, the well just went dry, you know. And so you need some flexibility in there, and that's indeed why the may is there rather than the shall, because of these situations that you really can't contemplate, and that's why they have some emergency rules in place for those things you can't contemplate. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
If there's no further discussion, I'm going to call a point of order on myself. We need to go back and resolve the amendment, the standing committee amendment. The motion to adopt standing committee amendment number one of Senate file 103, made by Senator Myers, has passed. And we're back on the bill. If there's no further discussion, we'll call for the question. Question. All those in favor of Senator Hicks' motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate file 103, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate file 103 is passed committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate file 0136. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate file 136, Energy Science Stipends and Fellowships, an act relating to abandoned mine land funds, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, was referred to committee number 2, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Burns, Dockstader, Driscoll, Hastert, and Landon. Senator Burns, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Burns?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the committee of the whole rise to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate file 136. There are no standing committee amendments, and if I can find my notes for further explanation of the bill, I ask that you call on good Senator Landon.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Fellow senators, Senate file 136 is a bill being brought to you which essentially reappropriates funds that have been in an energy science stipend and fellowship program for the past 6 or 7 years over at the university. It might be helpful for newcomers and veterans alike to have a little bit of a quick history on this fund, Mr. Chairman. During the 2011 session, the legislature appropriated $6.2 million in abandoned mine land money to the Academic Affairs Office over at the University of Wyoming for energy science stipends and fellowships. The idea of the program was to support fundamental research in a wide array of energy topics important to Wyoming. The reason for this bill, senators, is that this money would revert if we did not bring this bill for your consideration. As you see at the bottom of page 1, under paragraph A, $2.833 million remains in that fund to this day and would be available for this program if we choose to pass this bill and reappropriate. If you go to page 2, You can see some of the sideboards that that the Senate had put on this fund in past years. The University of Wyoming can expend no more than $1 million, cannot use these funds to supplant to another graduate program. Senators, this comes highly recommended from your Appropriations Committee simply because of what we saw as the value of the program. This literally, to use a word from one of the presenters during committee, this brings to us some of the primo graduate students literally in the world. We've been able to use this fund to attract students from all over the country, but also from around the world. Some of the areas of study, it's been actually pretty remarkable. Engineering and the applied sciences, arts and sciences, agriculture and natural resources, business and petroleum engineering. The list goes on and on, chemistry and math and physics. There have been 11 PhDs awarded through this program to the students who have participated, 17 master's degrees, and currently out of all of these best and brightest, we've got about 40 more PhD candidates in the pipeline. This is a program that I think is worth extending. This is a two-year type fellowship program, fellow senators, and was due to sunset or to be reverted in 2018. What this bill would do would be to allow the University of Wyoming to recruit another two-year cohort, at the end of which they believe would probably leave a balance of about $1.6 million in this fund. If you're sitting there wondering if we're going to have to revisit this fund in the future, the answer is yes. A couple, 3 years down the line, perhaps even next year in a budget session, we can talk about this program. The money, Mr. Chairman, exists to, enough to fund another cohort. That's what this this bill does. Be glad to try to answer any questions. If not, I would call for the question in support of the bill.
Senator Agar.
I have just a simple question, Mr. Chairman. What is the retention rate of these students that we've pulled in with this program? But how many stay here and reside within the state after they graduate?
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, not a lot of them, frankly, because there aren't the type of jobs unless they are retained at the university as faculty. The value that they give to the university is the research that they conduct while on the stipends and the in help with the faculty themselves. And you'll see these studies come out. The faculty members' names will be at the head of it. But the but these people on these stipends are the ones who have done a lot of the research for them.
Senator Lyman?
So, Mr. Chairman, just to add to what the chairman just relayed, so a lot of that research stays behind. Sometimes these doctoral students go on into the world, and there are all sorts of other benefits that could come back to the University of Wyoming and to the state, frankly. We hope that they have fond memories of their times here, and as they go on to make big names in the world, hopefully that will come back to the state in different ways as well. So hope that answers the question.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, the School of Energy Resource sees these graduate students on almost every meeting we have, and what they're doing and what their project is doing and where it's going, and they're doing some tremendous work for the University of Wyoming. I'd sure like to see us continue to do that. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Would you like a question following that primo presentation? That's the best I can do, a humor. All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion to win this committee of the whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 136, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 136 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 109.
Senate File 109, Autocycles, an act relating to motor vehicles, sponsored by Senator Barnard, was referred to Committee Number 8. which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Agar, Anderson, Baldwin, Christensen, and Meyer. Senator Meyer, Chairman.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the committee of the whole rise to report, it do so with a do pass motion on Senate file 109, auto cycles. Mr. Chairman, there was a standing committee amendment. I would ask that the reading clerk read the amendment in at this time.
Senate file 109, standing committee amendment number 1, page 2, line 11.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the standing committee amendment number 1 to 109 at this time, and for explanation of the bill and the amendment, I would defer to the prime sponsor, Senator Barnard.
Senator Barnard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate. There are cars and there are motorcycles, and the difference between them is pretty clear. You sit in a car with four wheels and a steering wheel, but when you sit on a motorcycle with two wheels and handlebars. Those lines, however, are being blurred by a new category of auto cycles, and the government is going to need new regulations. So that's why this bill is coming forward. About 2 weeks ago, I had a constituent call me up and told me he was going to buy one of these auto cycles. If you look at the handout here, on the top one is an Elio cycle. He was going to buy one of these. When he called up the Department of Transportation, they told him that he would have to come down and get a motorcycle endorsement. He's about 81 years old, and he said, I don't think I can do that. So he asked me if I'd bring a bill and change that, and that's one of the other reasons why we're bringing this bill. As you can see, I'll just talk real briefly about what is an auto cycle, and we'll cover it on the bill also, Mr. Chairman. An auto cycle is a motor vehicle that has two front wheels and one rear wheel, a steering wheel rather than handlebars, no more than two permanent seats that do not require the operator or the passenger to straddle it or sit aside of them. It has fit controls on the brakes, acceleration, and the clutch. Some of these auto cycles have airbags, some of them don't. Some of them meet the national safety standards, and some of them don't. If you look right here in the bottom right hand corner, that's called a slingshot. Probably next year we'll come back with a law that prohibits anybody under the age of 24 to drive one of those.
Go ahead, Senator.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Presently, there are 26 states that have laws on this about auto cycles, so these aren't new. There'll probably be 10 or 15 more in the next couple of years. Some of the states have laws that you need to wear helmets. We don't have that in our law. Some of the states say that you have to have insurance to drive some of these. We don't have that either. So if you look at the bill, we'll start out on the definitions on page 1. And on page 2, we have the first item on the standing committee amendment. If you go to line 10, auto cycle, as you look at the standing committee amendment, we've changed that to say auto cycle means a three-wheeled motor vehicle fully or partially enclosed with automotive controls and safety belts. Then if you turn this corner, you go to page 3, it talks about the definitions and includes auto cycles as how much it costs to give them licenses. It costs $12. Page 3, auto cycle is defined there by statute now. Page 4, we have the second amendment, the second part of the amendment. On page 4, line 2, we insert motorcycles, comma, auto cycles, and pedestrians, and that part of the standing committee amendment. And if you read through here on page 4, number 15, it talks about how auto cycles can, they're entitled to be on one lane of the road. When you ride a motorcycle, you can have two motorcycles next to each other in the lane. With auto cycles, you can't do that. It talks about how auto cycles are permitted to pass other vehicles. And if you look down on page 5, it talks about auto cycles and their definitions. And on page 6, we talk about headlights, taillights, and rear reflectors. The basic rule here is if the auto cycle is over 50 inches wide, it has to have two lights, two tail lamps, two stop things, and two reflectors. If the auto cycle is less than 50 inches, it only has to have one of those different things. And if you turn to page 9, line 17, this is the reason why we're doing this bill. It says any person licensed to drive any class of vehicle pursuant to this section may also drive an auto cycle, as defined that. So that just says if you have an automobile license to drive an automobile, you can drive an auto cycle. And the last part of the standing committee amendment is on page 921. We decided that we would want to have this become available immediately. There are people in the state who have these. And the other thing that we needed to look at, Mr. Chairman, is if somebody comes from another state into our state, and they have just a car license, if they're picked up now, they can get a ticket because they don't have a motorcycle endorsement. So that's why we're passing this bill. So I'd like you to sit back, relax, imagine you're in an auto cycle, and vote for this bill. At that time, Mr. Chairman, I would call for the question on the standing committee number 1, amendment number 1.
Is there any discussion on the amendment?
Any questions? Excuse me.
Discussion on the amendment? Question? All those in favor of Senator Meyer's motion to adopt the standing committee amendment number 1 of Senate File 109, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to Senate File 109 has passed. We're back on the bill. Senator Von Flattern.
I do have a question. Are auto cycles today illegal, Mr. Chairman? I don't know that. I mean, because I've seen them driving through our state, and I'm sure somebody owns one here.
Are they legal? Excuse me.
Senator Barner.
Mr. Chairman, yes, they're legal. We just made them even more legal.
Senator Agar.
Mr. Chairman, kind of the testimony we heard from agencies last night was that they're kind of in no man's land. And so the purpose of this bill is to give them a classification. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, I think the bringer mentioned that they weren't covered on certain things, and he said they weren't covered by insurance. And I don't see this changing that. I think they're still covered by insurance as a motorcycle, but I don't know. Is there some difference?
Asper. They are insured. Some of them don't meet the national safety standards, okay, because some of them are enclosed, some of them are open. For instance, the one in the corner down there, the slingshot, doesn't meet the national safety standards. Okay, that's all.
Is there any further discussion? Would you like the question? All those in favor of Senator Meyer's motion to win the Committee of the Whole rises report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 109, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 109 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 25. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 25, Wildlife Location and Research Information Confidentiality, an act relating to game and fish, sponsored by the Travel Committee, was referred to Committee Number 6, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Barnard, Boner, Emmerich, and Moniz. Senator Emmerich, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before we proceed on this bill, I think it needs a little explanation why you've got a yellow copy in front of you, Mr. Chairman. We saw this bill approximately 2 weeks ago, and the point of the bill is to prevent essentially poaching through the Public Records Act information that researchers are obtaining on animals within the state, as well as specific locations of animals that are have collars. And a lot of this information is available through the Public Records Act from the Game and Fish. The point being for this bill is to protect the rights of some of the research that is being done that has not been published. And when I use the term poaching, I'm talking about research and data that is that could possibly be poached by another investigator and receive credit when that individual did not do the work. So Game and Fish came to us and said, is there a way to prevent the release of this information and protect it? Well, Game and Fish and a number of other interested individuals and conservation groups, if I may use that term, came to us 2 weeks ago, and they said, oh, it's a wonderful bill, but... And the next group would say, it's a wonderful bill, but. And I could see where we were going with this and the fact that there were so many exceptions, so many unknowns that we had trouble. So I said, all right, all you people that are in favor of it, but and adding the buts, I said, you go out in the hall, get yourself together, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Make it work. Because we had... The press is concerned. Conservation is concerned. Hunters are concerned. I could just go on. Well, guess what? They got together, and in about 5 minutes, they took the previous piece of legislation and just essentially threw it out the window. They took all of the salient points and took it from Game and Fish and placed it into public records. Therefore, we have substitute number one.
Senator,
it passed. Yes,
Senator, can I get you to move the bill and the amendment as well to substitute?
And the committee of the whole rise to report.
Well, we've not moved either bill yet.
Well, I did not also go that through that one. Yeah, I would like to move... When the committee whole rise to report, I would hope that it would have positive consideration for Senate File 25.
You have to move the substitute bill.
Is now the sub, and I would move the substitute bill.
And the reading file clerk needs to read this, the substitute bill in as well, please.
Then we need to move the amendment. Then we're good.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. President, I believe I have done that, kind sir. Yeah, we can do it again.
Let's pretend you haven't and just do it again because I don't think you have.
Thank you, Mr. Minority Floor.
Senator Emmerich, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I would move substitute bill.
You have to move the bill first.
I have to, yes. I move in the committee of the whole rise and report the dues with favorable consideration of Senate file 25.
Okay. Now the reading clerk.
There is a standing committee amendment.
Reading clerk, please read the standing committee amendment.
Yeah. Senate file 25, standing committee amendment number 1, that substitute.
I would move that substitute, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Emery.
I wanted to go through all of this to explain why we came up with this sort of situation. And I'll sit for any questions.
Is there any discussion on the amendment? Question?
What a hash. We have to.
Okay.
We have to vote on the substitute.
The substitute amendment. Yeah. Okay.
To make this the bill? Is that what we're doing on our rules? Okay. You could argue that you're actually...
Voting on the substitute amendment is not the same as voting on the bill. It's voting to replace the bill with the substitute amendment, and then after that we will have another vote on the bill after debate. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Senator Ruffus. So this will be a question on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 25. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. The motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 25 has passed. Is there any further discussion on the bill? Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, I find myself in the inevitable position. This is what the good senator described was as, well, I like the bill, but, and the but is the question. So when I get down to, we go to the substitute bill, and we go to page 2, line 21. And this is the provision that gives me a great deal of concern. So in this section, it says the custodian shall deny the right of inspection of the following records unless otherwise provided by law. It's subsection 5, geospatial data. And that's probably good from a standpoint. I think that gets to the subsection 8 up above. That's what we really don't want to do. And then we say, or biological information related to wildlife. So here's my concern. Right now, as a sportsman or anybody, you can go get tooth data to age that the Game and Fish collects, and I can call over there and I can say, I'd like all the tooth data for whatever species you have in your database to determine the average age of the animal that's taken in that unit. It's not uncommon that hunters do that. Probably the most common is when you deal with the bighorn sheep hunters, they'll call and say, I want 10 years worth of harvest data, not the stuff that they generally publish, but the stuff that gives a township section and location. Now, this is all historic data, and you get those printout, and they've always freely distribute those if you call and specifically tell them what you want. Right now, the way I read this, even any historical biological data like that, this says that they shall deny the record. Doesn't say may. Doesn't say they may deny the record for biological information. It says they shall deny the right of inspection for the following records: geospatial, biological information related to wildlife. Basically, the way I read that, they have to deny anybody that calls access to that information. I don't know if that was the intent, but that's certainly the way I read the bill, is they can't give it out now. unless we pass another law that says they can. So that provision, other than what they publish, now becomes sealed. And that gives me a great deal of concern. And I don't think that was the intent, but I think that's what it does. If the sponsors want to talk that, I think we need to move this bill on. Let's find the answer to that question and maybe bring it back for a second reading amendment. But right now, I think that's so broad, they have to deny any information that's biological information under this.
Senator Agar.
Mr. Chairman, I may be having another one of those freshman moments, but I have a simple question. I have constituents that get a weekly report of grizzly bear population so that their employees can avoid mauling incidents. Does this affect those reports?
Senator Emmerich.
Mr. Chairman, as the good senator from behind me said, he sees that there's a possibility that everything may be sealed, but I read it somewhat differently in that it says that's on page 2, line 19, trade secrets, privileged information, and confidential commercial, financial, and geological data. I don't consider that to be, I think that's carving out a separate group that is basically related to research. And as far as the question is, this sort of information is available. The purpose of this bill, and it may need to be amended to clarify, but the purpose of the bill is to protect information where people can get on public records. They're getting the information on where the animals are, because we can tell within 15 minutes where some of these collared animals are physically. And that does not allow for the true fair chase situation. That was the intent of the bill. We may have to work on that, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I believe, obviously, the D section of the Public Records Act is a shall deny, so there's no question that this Romanet 5 that we see on lines 19 through 22 is a shall deny provision. But the adjective, the modifier, at the beginning of line 20, confidential, is going to apply to the rest of the clause. So the implication is that we're talking about confidential geospatial or biological information related to wildlife. And, Mr. Chairman, when read that way, I believe it captures the intent and probably addresses the concerns of my good friend to the east of me. When read the other way, it certainly creates some problems where you would expect that all geospatial or biological information related to wildlife might be precluded from inspection. However, there's in the construction of that statute, the confidential would clearly be a modifier. Take for consideration confidential modifying geological. Well, obviously, the release of geological information is something that's done all of the time. That's a very common thing for our agencies to do. However, the implication here is that it's confidential geological information that shall be denied. Based on that construction, I think the language as drafted is satisfactory, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, let me throw one other consideration into the mix. Suppose you have a block of research data. The researcher wants to do his research, publish his paper, get the credit for it, and keep that information from being stolen, hijacked by some other researcher and published first. He needs to have this protection. However, sometimes these things never get published, they never get finished, or they do get published, and a subsequent researcher could sure use access to that data to go back and construct, say, a longer time series in the movements and things like that. Should there be a time consideration on how long it can be held as confidential information, as opposed to just permanently denying it, which I think is, Mr. Chairman, what this statute does.
Senator Hicks.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, and to my colleague from the Ivory Towers, I think the operable word here is and. So trade secrets and privileged information. That's what we're protecting here, trade secrets and privileged information. And then you enumerate all those cases if they fall under trade secrets and privileged information. So it's confidential, commercial, financial, geological, geospatial, or biological information related to wildlife. So I'm not sure I agree with his interpretation of the construction of the statute. The question I have is it may get there if we say trade secrets and privileged information. The question I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to go back and find out what the definition of privileged information is. If that's something that an agency already collects, then my concerns are validated if there's a different definition. But I do think we need to move this bill on, give us some time to look at it overnight, and see if it addresses those concerns.
Is there any further discussion? Would you like the question?
Question.
All those in favor of Senator Emmerich's motion, the one the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 25, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no.
No.
Senate File 25 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 144. The reading clerk will read the file.
Senate File 144, Legislature Per Diem, Local Residents, an act relating to the legislature, sponsored by Senator Bouchard, was referred to Committee Number 2, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Burns, Driscoll, and Hastert. Excused, Senators Dockstader and Landon. Senator Burns, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the file. What is your pleasure, Senator Burns?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 144, Legislator Per Diem Local Residents. There are no standing committee amendments, and for a further explanation of the bill, I ask that you call on the prime sponsor, Senator Bouchard.
Senator Bouchard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We heard an amendment the other day that was on a fiscal bill the other day, and it kind of wasn't in the right place. I agreed with it, and I stood up and stated it as such, so that's why I ran this bill. And the amendment that we had the other day, I was just on the verge of where that 10-mile radius was on that language. So what we did is, going through the bill here, I'm just going to state kind of ideas of what happened here. That was a 10-mile on city limits. So I crafted this bill, put myself inside of this with a 25-mile range here. So what this is, people that live in the Cheyenne area are getting the same per diem as people who have to travel into the Cheyenne area, and they all have to have hotel rooms. The people in this in the county really don't have to do that. They're getting a lot of extra per diem, and that's kind of the idea of this bill here. It's actually on page 1, section or line 8. It's the language there to create the new sections and the subsections. And so on page 2, you know what, I'm looking at the wrong bill. Sorry, Mr. Chairman. Can I grab the, sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay. On line 7, we're creating a new subsection. And we're also defining the per diem that's in this on the bottom of page 1. And on page 2, we're just specifying that it's 50% of the per diem if the member's home is within 25-mile radius of Wyoming's Capitol building. And that actually is, it doesn't matter if it's this building or the other building, whatever, whichever one we're in. And you can see the fiscal note there, what we saved. There's two different... 2019 and 2020, there's a difference there because one is a budget session and one is a general session. And it's a real simple bill, and, you know, I move that we pass this bill and save the state a little bit of money and I think do things a little more fitting for the public.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, does this also apply for committees that either interim committees or committees that are meeting in other cities?
Huh? It's covered?
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I think the answer to that, the way it's drafted, I think is no. And, Mr. Chairman, on and for the bill, and I do have one question. My understanding of the federal rules is that 25 miles is where the per diem changes from being taxable income to something that is not taxable, an expense reimbursement. And I think that's been a standard that's been around for a long time. So I think that's a feature of the bill that makes sense when you consider what other governments have done in considering similar circumstances.
Question. If there's no further discussion, we'll call the question. All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion to win the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 144, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The chairman's in question. We have a standing vote. All those in favor, please rise. All those opposed, please stand. Six, the chairman needs his ear cleans and waxed.
She did. Send her another cop. Yeah.
Send her another cop. Would you like to declare a conflict on that? In which case the vote was 19 aye, 6 no, and 1 conflict. Quit it. Senate File 144 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 111, the Reading Clerk will read the bill.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, just on that, on the last bill, as a point of order on the last bill, the effective date of that is January the 1st of 2019, so that will be after, so no one who's sitting, that will be the 65th legislature. So you're not voting on compensation to increase your compensation during the current legislature. So I'm not saying not to declare conflict. I'm just making sure that you understand that as with any kind of bill that deals with an emolument, you can't vote on one that would raise your pay in any current legislative session. This puts it beyond the next legislative session. I do recognize that the new members will still be in office unless something happens in the 64th legislature, because presuming you've been elected to 4-year terms. But I just wanted to bring that attention. So as you analyze your conflict, it's your choice whether to declare a conflict or not. I just want to make sure that you understand the timing on the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Oh, Senator Burns, I couldn't see you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, the tradition of the legislature has been whenever a pay increase or anything like that is voted in, it has usually been, the effective date has usually been at a point after all the current members would go through another election cycle. The fact that that anybody who was elected in 2016 at this most previous election will still be in office at that time, I think, does render them subject to the idea of being
in a conflict or not. Now, they also can say they're part of a group, a larger group. That's true. But some people feel differently about that one way or the other. If they're not having another election between now and the effective date of that bill, I think they have a potential conflict.
Senator Von Flatern and then Senator Scott.
And the good senator from Sheridan has a valid point, except that we've been told that LSO in the past and past rulings, let me rephrase that, past rulings and verified through management, said this was more of a reimbursement. It wasn't actually to do with pay. It was a reimbursement. And you're allowed to raise the reimbursement rates while in office, which is a gray area you can agree or not agree with. But that's why this is considered reimbursement and could be enacted immediately. But that's up to the changes.
Well, we are back on Senate File 111. You've heard the reading of the – have you read it yet? Would the reading clerk please read the bill?
Senate File 111, Nurse Practice Act Revisions, an act relating to the occupation of nursing, sponsored by Senator Baldwin, was referred to Committee Number 10, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Baldwin, Boner, Bouchard, Peterson, and Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Scott?
Mr. Chairman, and let me make the motion where I think it's supposed to be made. Mr. Chairman, I move when the Committee of the Whole rise and report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 111 do pass. Mr. Chairman, there were no standing committee amendments, and for an explanation of the Senate File, I yield to Senator Baldwin.
Senator Baldwin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to take you back a year as we go through this bill. Those of you who were here last year will remember that we passed a bill concerning advanced practice registered nurses, but a bill that allowed us to have interchange with other states. It was called the Compact Bill. As a director of the agency involved here, or the board involved here, went through things. She found that there were a number of things language-wise that needed to be changed to come in compliance with that bill. So what you see before you here today is essentially a technical correction bill. So we'll walk through some bullet points real quick, and you can go through your bill as we go, and hopefully it makes sense, and it doesn't matter if my ears are plugged with wax this time. It's my mouth that has to work this time. If you look on page 2, line 19, one of the things we did was change APRN recognition to licensure, which just brings that in compliance and in equal to what is in the compact and what is national language. That would be on line 19. If we go to page 2, line 11, just for a clarification, we added doctorate degree. The original bill said master's. There is available at the university here a doctorate degree as well. So we wanted to include doctorate as well as master's to make that very clear. Also on page 2, line 23, we added advanced practice registered nurse to identify a license or licensure type. That is a specific type to the nursing profession, and we just clarified that. We're going to go ahead to page 3 now, line 12, and you'll see that it's also added in a couple of places. It was noted in the original bill, in the compact bill that we did, when we were referring to nursing assistants, there was various language. So what we did is we made language specific to the nursing assistants, certificates, certified certification, certificate holders, recertification, and certified nursing assistant, as well as nursing assistants, which, again, just makes it uniform with the compact bill that is out there. On page 9, line 12, and page 10, line 18, a clarification was made concerning temporary permits. The agency, the board, wanted to make it very clear that temporary permits are only allowed one time. They can't get multiple temporary permits. Once they've had that one temporary permit, then they've got to move ahead to get a real permit, not a temporary permit. So that's a specific, very stringent rule within the board. And finally, we added the effective date on the final page there, July 1st, 2017.
So as you can see, what this bill does is just brings us in compliance with the compact bill that's in existence to make it more passable, more doable with all of the other agencies, all of the other states that are doing the compact bill. And with that, I would stand for any questions. If there are none, I would encourage your favorable vote.
Is there any further questions? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Scott's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 111, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 111 has passed Committee of the Whole. We have cleared the desk. Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, before I make the motion for the Committee of the Whole Horizon Report, I just want to explain where I think we are as with respect to Committee of the Whole. Just by my count on the sheets and the bills that have been numbered for introduction, those that I know are probably either not coming out for one reason or another, or that I, or my guess is at memory of those who have been either not passed or for one or other reason or another are still in the possession of a committee but are not likely to be heard. I think that leaves us with roughly about 60 bills between that have been numbered for introduction we have not heard during the Committee of the Whole. Obviously, I think if the chief clerk can verify this for me, I think next Friday is the last day for bills to be voted out of committee, passed out of Committee of the Whole. So just looking at that, and committee chairman, if you might drop me a note or something, let me know how many bills you have in your possession that are not likely to be heard or not coming out or failed. I'm just trying to arrange that and trying to arrange for our schedule on Committee of the Whole next week. As you can see, we've got 5 days next week, 1 day tomorrow. That's, you know, we've been trying to crank along about 10 bills a day. If we continue that, I don't know that we'll have a big crush next Friday, but nevertheless, there's committee work. There's been a plethora of bills that have been read in the last few days, so I think committees are full. If you think the president has given you more work to be able to do in the next week and to try and avoid a big crush at the end, please let me know, and we can visit the president, or we can talk about having those reassigned to other committees that might not have as much going on. But in doing that, I can tell you that there is another body in here. The last I knew, they had 28 bills on general file. With this, I think we have, I've completed today, I think we have maybe three or four bills on general file. We really have been doing them about as fast as they come out of committee. So just, Mr. Chairman, just wanted to let the body know where we're at, where I think we're going, and how we're going to get there, and just appreciate the members for their good work and the chairman for their efforts and committee members for the good work in moving the bills along. So thank you, Mr. Chairman. With that,
May I have privilege of the floor?
You're the chairman. You can do whatever you want.
I will have privilege of the floor. Thank you very much. But in the gallery, we have some optometrists. I have a former student, Dr. Joe Maycock. Please stand up. And I also have our state superintendent of public instruction, Jillian Balow, who's also a former student of mine. And then, of course, Dr. Bob Love. And I'm probably forgetting some other ones out there. But welcome to the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I didn't know you were that old. Mr. Chairman, with that, I move the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carried.
Would the reading clerk please read the Committee of the Whole report?
Mr. President, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, begs leave to report as follows. Senate File 133, do pass amended. Senate File 119, do pass amended. Senate File 49, do pass amended. Senate File 103, do pass amended. Senate File 136, do pass. Senate File 109, do pass amended. Senate File 25, do pass amended. Senate File 144, do pass. Senate File 111, do pass. Senator Baldwin, Chairman.
Senator Baldwin.
Mr. Chairman, I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard the motion. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no?
No.
Other than Senator Case, the Committee of the Whole report has been adopted. We have standing committee. That's the Committee of the Whole. We have the standing committee reports to read.
January 26, 2017, Mr. President, your committee number 6, to whom was referred Senate File 120, Mentor Antelope Hunting Voucher, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Lalton, Barnard, Boner. Noes, Senators Emmerich and Moniz. Senator Emmerich, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 3, to whom was referred Senate File 97, Tobacco Settlement Data Sharing, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Case, Ellis, Kinski, Peterson, and Wasserberger. Senator Peterson, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 3, to whom was referred Senate File 46, Appeals by County Assessor, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Case, Ellis, and Peterson. Noes, Senators Kinski and Wasserberger. Senator Peterson, Chairman.
That concludes the standing committee reports. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a motion?
I hope so.
Yes, Mr. Vice President, I do have a motion. I move we stand adjourned until 10 a.m. Friday, January 27th.
You've heard the motion. Any announcements? Senator Scott.
Mr. Vice President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet tomorrow morning in normal committee room at 8 a.m. We've got two bills, and let me warn committee members and the public, we may have to shuffle the order to accommodate demands of other committees on members. But the bills are Senate File 167, Workers' Compensation Rate, Discount, Modification, and Credit, Senate File 89, Presumptive Disability for Firefighters, and again, I do warn we may have to shuffle the order on that to accommodate other demands on the members.
Senator Coe.
Mr. Vice President, your committee number 4, Education, we made a little error. We have a little bill we have to finish up in the morning. Senate File 134 shouldn't take but just a few minutes. School finance class size waivers, that's continuing from January 25th. Then we'll take up Senate File 114, Education Reform, Senate Joint Resolution 8, School Construction Renovation Constitutional Amendment, and Senate File 145, University of Wyoming Community College Boards of Trustees, Chairman.
Senator Coe, are you having a meeting to explain one of the bills in L-54 or somewhere? Is that for tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yes, Mr. Vice President. We're in Jonah Room L-54 down the hall. Down the hall. We will not be meeting in S-19.
And so what time is that?
Will that it kind of depends when I get up, but I'm thinking 8 o'clock.
Well, don't get up too early for us. Senator Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Your committee, Minerals Number 9, will meet Friday, January 27th, 15 minutes after noon recess in Jonah Room S-18 to hear the following bills. Senate File 127, Exterior Residential Storm Damage Repair Contracts. Senate File 117, Nationwide Multi-State Licensing System Collection Agencies. And also tomorrow at 5 p.m.
No, it's today.
Also today at 5 p.m. in L-54 Management Council meeting.
Thank you. Senator Hicks.
Mr. Vice President, your committee number 5, Agricultural Public Lands and Water, will be meeting in 6 minutes in room S-27 to take up Senate File 118, Food Freedom Act Sales Location, Senate File 122, Water Development Amendments, and Senate File 91, Small Water Projects.
Thank you. Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Your Judiciary Committee number one meets Friday morning, January 27th, 8 a.m. at the Jonah Room, S18, to consider the following bills. Senate File 115, Malicious Cruelty to Animals. That's a continuation. Senate File 151, Ignition Interlock. And Senate File 129, Sexual Assault of a School Employee.
Is there any further announcements? Yes, Senator Burns, you know, you hide behind that post so well.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, your committee number two, Appropriations, will meet tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. down at the Appropriations Room, Jonah Room L55, where we will take up Senate File 132, the Endow Initiative, that is a re-referral, and Senate File 166, State-Funded Capital Construction.
Any further announcements for the Senate? Seeing none, you've all heard the motion. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? No. The Senate stands adjourned until 10 a.m. Friday, the 27th.